Hello, this is Fessel. Cue the jingle. Welcome to the Fessel podcast, where Rob Manuel and Dave Stevenson take this week's most awful confessions and cringe at the horror of it all. I'm Rob Manuel, and I've been running this million follower account for 5 years.
And I'm David Stevenson, and I get dragged into Rob's projects regardless of whether I want to or not.
Oh, Dave. Anyway, this is a bit where our producer tells us that we need to encourage listeners to subscribe, rate and review whether they want to or not, wherever they get their podcasts, I think the line is. Where'd you get your podcast, Dave?
John Lewis.
Nice. That's where you get the best ones.
2-year return rate.
I was just innovating a new way we could do this. Instead of putting it all on Acast and all that rubbish, we could record individual podcasts, put them on CD and charge each person £100 and everyone gets a unique podcast. You'd probably only need about 500 listeners. We'd all be rich.
That would be amazing. We just need patrons, basically.
Yeah. And we'd be recording the same thing a lot because each one has to be unique.
Do you remember when we tried doing that with jingles, writing jingles for people? We wound up writing like strange tunes.
Yeah. It was for Jib Jab, the company who make those sort of like singing Santa kind of elf things. And they were branching out into other things as singing elves. And somehow I got hold of them and sort of pitched a pile of stuff to them. And then we had to walk around. Do you remember walking around a cemetery trying to write songs for this thing?
That was actually a very productive environment. I think it was about Christmas, and all the songs were about how Christmas, you're going to die. Happy Christmas. Name.
And there was one that had old people's cancer.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But anyway, the jingles are back because now we've got a new job writing jingles for the Fessel podcast. But the thing we've got to do now is we're going to do the week in Fessel, where we're going to go through the 10 most popular confessions this week.
The week in Fessel.
This is why we didn't ever get called back to Jib Jab to make any more jingles, wasn't it, Dave?
Happy birthday.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to go through the top 10 most popular ones we got came through this week. So I'm going to read one out to you, Dave. My wife is a police officer. Her name is Nina. She can never find out how obviously hilarious I find this. Would this work better if I'd said her name differently?
Yeah, Nina. Nina. I mean, does this person live at 999 Let's Be Avenue?
I'll do you some of the replies that came through. A three-year-old would maybe laugh at this. I'm actually unfollowing this account because of how embarrassing it was to read. That's what Zane X says.
I guess they won't be hearing this.
I checked. They're still following the account. And Martin Skinner, who's, I don't know who he is, but he says, blokes like you keep Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler in work. This is brutal.
I don't know. It's very weird. Keep extremely successful Hollywood actors in work.
What they're complaining is that this is just like a weak joke and that Fessel is better than this. And it therefore is probably not even true. But, you know, I say to them, we're not better than this. But why can't it be true? Men, you know, not even men, but like people do endlessly make crappy jokes about names, don't they? Isn't it just part of ordinary life?
Yeah, it is. I think it's a bit of a weird one that he's never. If you're married to someone whose name is funny to you, I think it stretches credibility that he's never actually teased her about it. That's the thing that I find unlikely about this. Like, for example, my wife's name is Sian, and I've not teased her about it, but she's got diacritical marks in her name, you know, like a little circumflex in the middle of it.
You're going to have to explain that in simpler words.
All right.
Are they like fancy little French dots or something?
She's got a little pointy up arrow above one of the letters in her name. And normally, calling someone Sian is already like on a hiding to like getting them annoyed with you because there's so many ways to spell the name. It's always going to be wrong. But even if you get it right, there's a little mark above one of the letters. So you're going to get it wrong anyway, and it's going to be slightly annoying. And then the normal letter that you put it above is the I, but it's not in her case. It's above the A. So even if you try really, really hard to get it right, you're still going to get ever so slightly wrong. It's always going to be slightly annoying for her. But I think people are very conscious of their names being funny or weird to other people. And yeah.
No one ever makes a joke about the name Dave, surely. That's just like unjokeable.
well, it's a, all right, Dave, and all that kind of thing. Because it's yeah, such okay, a kind okay. of like, how are you doing, Dave? And also, like, obviously, there are so many people called Dave, although less so these days, but like Dave's of a certain age.
There's like, Dave's are dying out.
It was like the age of Dave's when Dave's walked the earth. It's like the 70s peak Dave naming a fad. Wherever I've worked or Dean, there's always been another Dave. So you always have to have another a nickname to go along with your Dave-ness. So you can...
So what type of Dave were you?
I think I've been all the kinds of Dave, most of the Daves. Anyway, I've been Big Dave and I've been Little Dave and I've been Spiky Dave and I've been Nice Dave.
Spiky because of spiky hair or spiky personality?
Spiky hair, yeah. No, I don't think I've been Mean Dave, but then maybe people wouldn't actually say that to your face.
No.
Were you ever like Big Rob or Little Rob?
One of my kids actually calls me Big Rob, but I was in a group, a friendship group as a student, and there was three Robs in it. And so there was Fat Rob. It's stuff of its time. There was Fat Rob, Gay Rob. I'm sorry about that, but I never said it. And Menacing Rob. And your job is to work out which one I was.
It's really hard because I
you remember how fat I was? You remember all the men I used to date?
Well, I think one of them was presumably Rob Sedgwick, who I do know.
No, this wasn't at school. This
Robs.
Was when I was
Oh, my God, too many
yeah,
Robs.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Then.
Yeah, to be clear, me and Dave were at school, to anyone listening, together. But this doesn't mean like we're at Eton together. We're a comprehensive in the West Midlands together, so... The old school tie is just some black tie.
I found out the other day that like a long-term family friend felt sorry for me for the school that I went to. They'd spent like 20-odd years feeling really sorry.
If anyone out there is listening from Smesto, it was a pretty okay school at the time. I think
it
might be all right
fine.
Okay now. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
All right, I would say Menacing Rob because that's the least kind of...
I was Menacing Rob, yeah.
You've got to aspire to be the Menacing Rob.
I just was like a grumpy young man.
So, Rob, you've got 10 here. What's the ordering system? Is there a kind of metric you're using to order them?
Yeah. It's a very, very important and technical and editorial metric that I've launched into here. And what we've done is we took the ones that got the most fabs. I've thrown out the ones which were like libelous and the ones that you can't broadcast. And then I've sorted them by what I think is the best. So it's my opinion. And if I'm wrong, you have the right to get in touch and tell me I'm wrong. So there. Coming up the pop parade, straight in at number 9 is The Confession. After my husband cheated and left me, his email still popped up on my laptop. One day, up popped a holiday he'd booked for him and her. I clicked on the link and it took me straight to the booking, whereupon I cancelled the trip. He would have no idea it was me.
It's the kind of thing that if that happened to me, I'd just assume I'd forgotten. You'd need to do it repeatedly, basically, or you'd need to change things about the trip to then make them feel like they were losing their mind. That's probably a better... Separate them out, put them in different seats.
You're saying they're not going far enough?
Not going far enough, no, if you're going to, you know...
So if someone leaves you, what would you do, Dave?
Well, I'd tell them to log out of my laptop, for one thing. I think in this case, obviously, what you'd do is you'd book them in separate rooms or separate seats on the plane, but it would be an unexplained weirdness and you just keep having unexplained weirdnesses in their relationship. That's what you'd do, not like, oh, you forgot to book the trip.
I just can't think of anything in my life where I've like, I mean, you've known me forever. Have you ever seen me do any petty revenge?
I think you are like me in a way where if you're actually annoyed with someone, you're actually too busy being annoyed to plan anything.
Yeah,
I'm so furious. I'm just going to tell you I'm angry. I haven't got any bandwidth to do anything else. But I remember one time getting absolutely furious with a babysitter and I found her Duran Duran tape and I put my fingernail into the cassette tape.
You did what to the Duran Duran tape?
It was the greatest hits of Duran Duran and she'll never know unless she listens to this.
But it does remind me of like the petty revenge bit of like what I did to my brother when I was about 10 or something was... I took the tapes that were to load computer games into his ZX81. And given it was a ZX81, they're not real computer games. They're just sort of like drafts in 1K and things like that. And I rubbed magnets all over the tapes and then completely denied I'd been near them. And the only reason I did it was like he kept saying, like, you mustn't get magnets near my tapes. You mustn't do this. Right, I'll do it.
Look what he made you do.
Right, okay, so we're saying on this one, it's perfectly okay. We forgive them and it's all okay.
I think it is okay. I think it's very, like, minor stuff. I mean, it's like leaving your door unlocked. If you're robbed, then it's your fault, really, right?
Is it okay? Your fault?
Maybe not. Maybe I've taught myself out of it now.
The Weekend Festival.
Okay, number 8 in the hit parade of all the confessions that have come in this week. Do you want to read this one out, Dave?
Yeah. Once I took a shower at a friend's house, hoping his hot mum would walk in on me. Instead, his dad did. And not only did he not know I was in the shower, but he took a shit, stunk the bathroom out, and then his hot mum found me walking out of the stinking bathroom.
Yeah, it got a lot of, on the actual replies, it got a lot of didn't happens. You know, like there was Dan Howdall who said like, oh, those silent water showers, so many of us have different stories. But in his defence, some rich people have very large bathrooms. I've seen those photos of like Julia Roberts going, welcome to my bathroom where I have Christmas dinner.
This is where my toilet is and this is where my shower is. They're very far apart.
This is my attorney's toilet over there. This is... You know, people do have big bathrooms, if in not in my life, but in other people's lives.
Yes, fair enough. I mean, I think that the sort of it didn't happen people are kind of some of the most tedious people in the world anyway. I mean...
How could you say that? They're my favourite people. In running this account for 4 or 5 years, I've never felt so much joy as getting daily people atting me in, going, didn't happen, and atting in that terrible account. What's it called now? Didn't happen of the year or something.
They're perfectly fine, but it is they do have a sort of slightly tedious fandom.
Yeah, I've just blocked the account and they had revenge and they've blocked me back.
Jesus Christ, it's pretty, it's like
I know.
East Coast, West Coast gangster wars.
Because the guy who runs the Didn't Happen of the Awards thing, he's sick of people atting Fesshole to him. Everyone's sick of it, basically.
I thought you were going to say he's sick of people turning up in his replies going, that did happen. It's like the worst people.
But yeah, my fundamental beef with the idea of didn't happen is that it's completely unknowable. We cannot know because we have no insider information. If we work on purely is it unlikely, that's not a really good guide either, because the mechanism that we're working with here is that we're asking people to submit the more extraordinary moments of their lives, you know?
Here's a really likely and mundane thing that happened to me today. It did happen. I did go to the shops and buy some tea bags.
I was going to say, the original story was about fancying his mate's mum. Have you ever fancied any of your mate's mums, Dave?
Very obviously, because like, as a sort of teenage boy, you're like, oh yeah, I mean, not only do you fancy mate's mums, but you think that they might actually fancy you as well.
Is this you saying you fancied my mum?
No.
No. What was wrong with my mum?
She's a perfectly lovely lady. But did you fancy my mum?
I did not fancy your mum. Number 7, to go on to the next in the hit parade of confessions this week. I'll read this one out. I bought my house from a musician last Christmas. A package arrived for him. I didn't have his contact info, so I sent him a Facebook message. Nada. I opened it and I found a box of chocolates from Ringo Starr. They were exquisite. So this year, I didn't hesitate. Thanks, Ringo.
That's lovely, isn't it? I don't care if it's not true. It's lovely.
But it's like the endless debate of is it true, isn't true. This one, it could easily be true. Showbiz people always, well, I say always, it's... Tom Cruise is famous for it. Tom Cruise sends out cakes every year, and your friend and mine, Stuart Heritage, got in touch with like Tom Cruise people and now gets 2 cakes sent to him every year. Mm-hmm. So my challenge to that Guardian journalist, Stuart Heritage, is can he get Ringo's chockies?
I like the fact that he gets 2 cakes, because which I imagine is because Tom Cruise tried to cancel the 1 cake and just ticked the wrong box, and so now he gets 2. If he tries again, he'll just be constantly getting more and more of these cakes.
Sort of like doubling binary 4, 8, 16.
He's moved house. How's he still getting the cakes?
Well, you can have a forwarding address, can't you?
No, it's true. But also, like, I guess if you're Tom Cruise, you have people who just, like, find out the addresses of people who need cakes.
I've seen Mission Impossible. They can just sort of, like, do all that typing stuff and do bugging and come down from the ceiling.
Yeah, the cakes just appear. He just comes down from the skylight like a spider.
Right, if I do a couple of replies from people, because there were people disbelieving this. Like there was someone called CPM said, Fesshole used to be good when people told the truth, but other people just went straight in with gags. We had Kevin who said, Strawberry creams forever. Okay, I'll read this out and you can just go, dead silence at how much you hate them.
That's what we want, isn't it?
Well, it's fine. You know, silence is a reaction in itself.
I'm doing my laughing with my eyebrows.
We got Rich Harris, who said, "Ooh, I'll get fries with a little help from my friends."
Pretty good.
Got a little smirk from that one. Fries is not the most well-known brand anymore for chocolates, is it? Anyway. And someone said, "It was Bonnie Tyler. You're holding out for the heroes." It's just a magnet for bad puns, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It would have been better if he'd got a fish or like an egg or something. Then it'd be absolutely rife with puns, wouldn't it?
It's cheese. Never mention cheese online. And then, because you just get cheese puns forever and it's just horrific.
It's like a Godwin's law, isn't it? It tends towards cheese puns.
Yeah, I don't want to have my name. It'd be the worst possible outcome from this if it became Manuel's law that suddenly then mentioning cheese.
Don't mention cheese.
Else you get cheese puns, and then that's all I'm ever known for forever. And it's like the one thing in my life that outlives me. Just. But what this did for me was like random interactions with celebs because of houses. And my claim to fame is my old flat, not the current place I live, but my old flat. The deeds were witnessed by Mariella Frostrup. Not when I was living there, but when the previous person was living there, they had to get them witnessed. So that was quite an exciting moment for me. Having a document in my hands with Mariella's own hand writing her own signature, and I witnessed.
That's incredible. Like, I think they'd have done better to get a newsreader, but a critic is pretty good.
Not just critic, she's like the Guardian columnist, isn't she? For all your problem, agony aunt, isn't she? These days. She's not just like sultry voice, kind of like 80s.
Can you do your sultry voice again, please, Rob?
My name's Mariella Frostrup, and I like smoking facts and answering all your problems at the Guardian. You know what? I witnessed Rob Manuel's flat. It was disgusting.
Are you turned on? We've gone to 6 in the charts of the best confessions this week.
My husband's best friend is female. If we're having a fight, he tries to get her to back him, but she always... Do you know what? That's a woman's voice, isn't it? So I should not do... My husband's best friend is female. If we're having a fight, he tries to get her to back him, but she always takes my side. I really like her.
Right, I'm going to go straight in with a couple of the replies. We've got Melon, who said, "The old double bluff."
Mm.
I said a couple of replies, just the one reply, actually.
Is the implication there that they're having an affair, but then she's like, always in public, she's like, "Oh, yeah, your wife's great."
That's the implication of Melon's mind, yes.
Mm.
But, it's the 1990s now, Dave. It's okay to cross the streams and have friends that are not the same gender as yourself. Or is it?
It just seems unwise if as a husband and wife, we're having a disagreement to sort of weigh in on one side or another. That's pretty wild to me.
Yeah, like my family's full of like factions all the time. And the only way to deal with it is to never, ever agree with anyone who's like trying to get you on their side of going, "Oh, isn't they're awful." They're going to be switching factions any second,
Mm-hmm. That's it. Never. I mean, the secret is to never, ever agree with anyone about anything.
Yeah.
That's the real way.
Yeah. Obviously it's perfectly okay to have friends that are male or female, doesn't matter. But at the same time, I feel a good friend of mine who's basically my sort of mostly nattering on sort of text messages friend, and she's called Sam. And there's an element of like sometimes where I feel, is this a bit off that I'm sitting there on the sofa sort of like just messaging jokes to my friend Sam, but even though it's fine?
Well, here's the thing that I find is that I've got female friends, and... there's a weird thing where you're like, am I not mentioning my wife enough? And is this a bit weird? But then you go conversely, am I mentioning my wife too much? And that's also super weird. I've just got to like, stop talking. Oh my God. And another thing my wife thinks about this.
By the way, have you seen this in the paper? And by the way, I have a wife. It's just sort of...
My wife is doing all right, thank you.
Right, okay. It's time for a fake advert break for our sponsors and services.
Tea break, let's all have a tea break, a lovely cup of tea for you and me. And now some adverts from some absolute c**ts.
Thank you very much, products and services. We're all going to buy lots of what they sell is coffee, pouches and mattresses.
Viagra.
It's always those bloody VPNs, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
I've now got VPNs on every device in the house. And how do they advertise so heavily? And what does anyone use them for anyway? Number five in the charts. Is it a mover? Is it a climber? No one listens to pop charts anymore, so that's not something I should do, is it? Okay, I'll do the confession. I've been running at the gym to lose weight. Last week, an athletic young woman was running next to me, 2 miles per hour faster. Stupidly, I upped mine to 2 miles per hour more than her, thinking in my chimp brain it might have impressed her, but it didn't. My AirPod fell out and I tripped and I broke my wrist. It's the ordinary sort of like, you know, man trying to impress a woman and then falling over kind of thing, which...
I mean, would she notice 2 miles an hour faster than her? What's the...
Well, on those machines, when you sort of like, you twist up or you move up the dial kind of thing, and you get a little kind of graphical representation, and every single person who uses those is always looking left, looking right, seeing, am I better, am I worse than the people next to me?
Turning up the racism dial and...
Going, I'm 100 years old and I can still do this more than the person next to me. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I think he should have gesticulated towards the number. Maybe that's what caused the...
Pointed, yeah.
Yeah, pointing. Look at this.
But yeah, people do definitely. But it wouldn't have occurred to me that, for me personally, that it was an attempt to flirt rather than just prove your superiority to another weak human.
Yeah, I'm crushing you.
I'll do a couple of the replies. We've got Ligma Mail said, she then finished her warm-up and ran at her real pace.
Mm-hmm. You go, girl.
And then someone called The Comedian, but it's spelt with a K, says, bit of a weird test. Was you trying to show she couldn't get away from you in a real life scenario?
Well, that's a good observation.
Yeah. They've done the internet trick of turning it round into you're the bad person and you're probably an abuser.
I mean, to be honest with you, like turning up your treadmill to 2 miles an hour faster, you're kind of on the footing to be the bad person anyway. 2 miles an hour is so... Like when you're walking back from the pub, for example, and someone is walking in front of you and you're 2 miles an hour faster than them, it's actually an incredibly awkward amount because you can't get past them fast enough.
Okay. I mean, I think an ordinary walking speed is about 4 miles an hour. And so 2 miles an hour faster than that would be 50% more than ordinary walking speed. So I think that is a considerable amount more.
Maybe I'm just socially awkward. I don't like any kind of contact.
So what do you do? You're sort of like alluding to that thing where you've accidentally found yourself walking behind a woman late at night. You've got to kind of go, I need to prove that I'm not the bad person in the least threatening way possible.
I need to walk past you because you're really slow as well. But you're not slow enough that I can get past you.
Yeah.
Going whoosh. So there's like that awkward thing of going and dragging your feet and basically like, acting very, very strangely and slightly threateningly, I suppose. I haven't a way around it yet. I was just like coughing and limp and lurching like a zombie as I try to indicate that I'm harmless.
And shouting, I'm harmless!
I'm harmless! Don't run away! It's fine!
No one is ever threatened by me!
You don't need to call for help!
In fact, I'm the person who would help
you! Yes! In fact, call for help, I'll help you!
Okay, the confession is that number four, this term, I've told my 5-year-old boy a joke to tell his friends at school every morning. It's become a really big deal with kids crowding around to hear it. I've realised that after the drop-off today, I'm craving the validation of 5-year-olds and now I need to keep finding jokes for him to tell. And it's a sweet little story. It's all great. And the replies have produced lots of like really sweet little simple jokes. Someone called Nikki said, pirate jokes go down well with 5-year-olds. And then they did a few. What's got 2 arms, 2 legs and 2 eyes?
I don't know. What has 2 arms, 2 legs and 2 eyes?
2 pirates.
That's good. That's good, that one.
Okay, that's your feedback on that joke. Why are pirates scary?
I don't know. Why are pirates scary?
Because they are.
That actually is scary, in fairness.
Okay. What time does Andy Murray... Okay, they're not pirate jokes anymore. They were just jokes for kids. What time does Andy Murray go to bed?
I don't know. What time does Andy Murray go to bed?
Tennis.
If only Sean Connery played tennis. That would be excellent.
That's why I couldn't resist doing it as Sean Connery. Because it's like, I'm sure there is another joke that basically does that. What's ET short for?
Extraterrestrial.
Because he's got little legs.
I see.
That's how you sit there at these comedy shows at the front going, I see. I see what you've done.
As the comedian produces a sequence of lolly sticks, have a bag, reads them out. That would be a pretty good routine, to be fair.
It'd be excellent. It's like I've seen so many, I've seen two comedians recently do shitty routines where they go, I've asked ChatGTP to write jokes, and then they've just stood there on stage reading them out. And it's like, oh, God's sake.
I liked the one where it went wrong. I saw a guy who did it and it went wrong, and it fixated on, I think it fixated on burgers or something. I can't remember what it was now. And it just kept saying burger so many times.
Burgers.
That was good. I like it when it goes wrong. Which is pretty much the case for any kind of comedy, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. AI is funny when it doesn't work properly, kind of thing.
I guess everybody's funny when they don't really work properly in that sense. Yeah. But it gets out of your control.
Okay, so at number three in the best confessions we had, I manage a bar and I had enough of customers being rude whilst waiting for drinks, so I decided to create a rude word button on the till where it adds £2.50 to the bill. Proceeds made from that went to our Christmas do. Last year's button got £12,000.
They have bad customers.
Yeah, lots of people disbelieving this one because they couldn't believe it come up to £12,000. But I'll do some of the comments. But they were all awful, awful, he shouted as the bailiffs herded them out of the course and into the prison van.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're stealing from the bad people.
It really is a psychological trap, isn't it? You know, if you decide that person's bad, then you have permission to do anything awful to them. That's a trap you shouldn't fall into, is my advice.
Especially if you're only taking £2.50 from them, it's like nothing. So you're like, well, they're not, you know, they're all probably, people are saying they would get caught, but I don't, you just make it like a service charge or something, wouldn't you? You just make it discretionary service charge. You wouldn't have the word, a rude word, on the bill. I'm revealing myself as someone who'd like run a dishonest bar and also stalk someone else's holiday thing from that other story as well. Not covering myself in glory here.
When we were at school, did you ever get involved in running the tuck shop?
I didn't know. I didn't even know it was an option. That's where the money was at.
It was, because the people were robbing it blind. And the trick that was at the time was that, well, basically anyone could go and work on the tuck shop because no one was checking. When you were behind there, you know, and you'd be given a quid to get like a Twix or something, and you meant to give like 60p change, people were giving like £5 change. And it was sort of like all that money was like supplying, then going straight to the corner shop to buy Silk Cut and Benson the Hedges.
Ever since I can remember, I always wanted to be a tuck shop guy.
Okay, this is the second best confession on Fesshole this week. And it says, smoking is a dirty, disgusting and expensive habit. I helped my girlfriend to quit smoking a few years ago by training her parrot to say, phewy, smells like cancer. Phewy, smells like cancer. Followed by a fake cough every time she lit up a cancer stick. Thank you, Jellybean, the parrot, you legend.
Goodness, mate.
And the replies included, and everyone started clapping, including the parrot.
There's lots of people who trained parrots to swear at Hitler. That was a problem a few years ago, wasn't it? Because parrots live for like over 100 years. And so there were parrots that were taught to speak during the Second World War, and they'd be shouting about Hitler all the time in an old parrot's home.
At number one, the confession is, the number one best confession this week on Fesshole was,
I got invited to lunch with the big boss last year. I told him how 80% of the work was done by 20% of the people and we'd be better off without most of the team. He agreed. And 6 months later, I was one of the many, many layoffs as part of an efficiency drive. Fair play.
Hoisted by his own petard.
Indeed, yeah. Although, you know, it seems like he'd be one of the more useful people, like dobbing in his fellows on the team, right?
Yeah, but maybe his boss was like, I don't like a narc.
Maybe all the others are also narcs.
Snitches get stitches.
He sacked all of the narcs. That's it now. It's all solidarity from there on in. I mean, it does serve them right, obviously.
Does serve them right, yeah. Snitching off to the big bosses to get everyone fired. Mostly people saying that in the replies. It goes, serves you right for crawling to management. Got rid of the grass, fair play. Have you ever been fired, Dave?
Got me redundant. I don't know if that counts as being fired. I think it does, but just in a kind of more roundabout way.
Because like you and me got made redundant, but sort of a bit fired, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. It was like, this bit of the company is no longer a thing due to your actions. So you're now redundant.
Top three replies of the week.
I've played football every Friday night with my son since he was 7. He's now 15 and it hurts like hell when he shoots at me. I hate it, but at the same time, no, these days are coming to an end and I'll long for the days where we went each week.
And here's the reply. You sound like a keeper.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Lightspeed Astronaut. Dave, confession. Number two.
I've been having a rough time at work. Long hours, bad management and having to work all night. Felt awful this morning. My wife woke me up with a naked cuddle, like a full-on straddling boobs in the face hug. Really sorted me out. Felt much better.
Made him realise all his troubles were merely a storm in a D cup. Thank you, the secret public health worker, for that reply.
I keep a spreadsheet in my phone of pubs / bars who show the football through dodgy fire sticks. Once I get to 100, I'm going to send the list to Premier League.
There speaks a man who has never touched a woman. Thank you, Lee Montgomery. Remember, keep confessing so we can turn your shoplifting tragedy and sociopathy into content. Our producer tells us we need to encourage listeners to subscribe, rate and review wherever they get their podcasts. Tune in next week. It's good night from me, and it's Dave.
Good night from me.